The claim of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. The claim of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, upon whom be peace, is that God has raised him for the guidance and direction of mankind, that he is the Messiah foretold in the traditions of our Holy Prophet and the Mahdi promised in his sayings, that the prophecies contained in the different religious books about the advent of a divine messenger in the latter days have also been fulfilled in his person, that God has raised him for the advocacy and promulgation of Islam in our time, that God has granted him insight into the Holy Quran and revealed to him its innermost meaning and truth, that he has revealed to him the secrets of a virtuous life. By his work, his message, and his example, he has glorified the Holy Prophet and demonstrated the superiority of Islam over other religions. The purpose of his advent was that God's love and concern for Islam should become manifest, that it should become clear how improper it is to neglect God and to keep at a distance from him. He claimed also that his coming had been foretold by almost all the prophets and founders of religions in the past. This because the Holy Prophet of Islam had been sent by God as a teacher of all mankind. He was to collect mankind in one fold and to unite them in one faith. If this design was to be fulfilled, it was necessary that national and traditional divisions and hatreds should be swept out of the way so that the Holy Prophet could be accepted as the seal of prophets by all the peoples of the world. Therefore, under God's design, the prophets and religious teachers of the past had each foretold his own second coming in the latter days. These prophecies pertained to a follower of the Holy Prophet, who was to be commanded by God to affirm and propagate the truth of the Holy Prophet, and was to unite the followers of different religions into an acceptance of Islam. He was to do so by declaring himself to be the promised one of each religion. The prophecies in the books of other religions which foretold the coming of a teacher all met their fulfillment in him. He was the Messiah for Christians and Jews, the Masih Darhabimi for the Zoroastrians, and Krishna for the Hindus. His coming in fulfillment of prophecies contained in the ancient books is evidence of his truth. As he himself is a witness of the religion of Islam, his coming is an invitation to the followers of other religions to come and enter the universal brotherhood of Islam. Having briefly described the claims of the promised Messiah, the founder of the Ahmadiyya movement, I wish in part 2 to enumerate the major criteria by which the truth of such a claimant can be judged. When it is proved that a certain person is divinely commissioned as a messenger of God, it becomes incumbent upon everyone to accept his claim. If a person is a divinely appointed leader, it is inconceivable that he should try to mislead or misguide. If a divine leader could mislead, it would be to the discredit of divine knowledge. It would mean that, God forbid, God has made an error in selecting a messenger or leader, that he has appointed as his vicegerent a person who is impure of heart, who seeks honor and fame for himself and not the propagation of truth, who holds himself above God. Not only does such a thought contradict common sense and reason, the Holy Quran explicitly denies it. The Holy Quran says, مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةَ ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. ولا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا. أيأمركم بالكفر بعد إذ أنتم مسلمون؟ It is not possible for a man that Allah should give him the book and dominion and prophethood, and then he should say to mankind, Be ye my servants, and not servants of Allah. But he would say, Be solely devoted to the Lord because you teach the book and because you study it. Nor is it possible for him that he should bid you take the angels and the prophets for lords. Would he enjoin you to disbelieve after you have submitted to God? It is impossible, that is to say, that God should grant a man a book, give him wisdom and the rank of a prophet, and yet that such a person should teach men to abandon God and to obey him instead. Such a messenger cannot but teach people to obey God. Nor can such a person teach people to take the angels and prophets as gods. It is impossible for anyone to persuade people to believe and yet make them disbelieve. The central question, therefore, when we are confronted with the fact of a claimant to divine leadership, is whether the leader's claim is true. If his claim is found to be true, then all his teaching is true. If his claim is not found to be true, it is futile to examine his teaching in detail. Following this golden principle, I wish to examine the claim of the founder of the Ahmadiyya movement so that my readers should become acquainted with the grounds on which the claim stands, and because of which hundreds of thousands of persons have already accepted him.